It's the Healthy Woman Show on WJR with Marie Osborne and Dr. Jonathan Zaidan, presented by Women's Excellence.
Welcome into the Healthy Woman Show here on WJR. Dr. Zaidan, welcome back. Almost summertime. I mean, spring has kind of just hung on a little colder than we would have liked. But summertime's on the way, and that means a lifestyle change for so many people. A lot of people spending time outdoors, but it also means a lot of women who have bladder control problems are going to be faced with some real issues in the coming months.
Well, there's no doubt it's Michigan, right? So we go right from winter all the way over to summer. But nonetheless, we've got a lot of patients that have a lot of problems with their bladder. And this is a time when they focus on their bladder control problems, mainly because it's time where they many times have a little more time to heal and recover. So, you know, if they have to have a surgical procedure or any type of procedure, they have some time in the summer maybe to relax, and that's a good time to have off. So if you take a few days off or a few weeks off in a recovery pattern, that's a good time to do it.
And again, this is one of those difficult subjects to talk about, but that's what we talk about here on the Healthy Woman Show. Stay with us as we talk about bladder control problems on the Healthy Woman Show on WJR. So as we said, we're glad to see some warmer temperatures coming our way. And Dr. Zaidan, I understand this is the time of year when a lot of women who have bladder control issues often come to your office and say, all right, it's time to take care of this problem for me. Let's talk a little bit about how bladder control issues impact women and their lives and their lifestyles, their families.
Well, I think that in anything, as far as your health goes, you always take it for granted. It doesn't matter whether you're a doctor or you're a nurse or you're just someone who's administrative in a hospital. We see all kinds of people who have healthcare conditions, but we just kind of never think it's going to happen to us, right? But bladder control is one of those things that I think everybody can kind of understand. Being continent or being able to hold your urine, that's such a thing that we all take for granted.
Basic, right?
Until you can't do it, right? Mm-hmm. And if you think about it, even as a youngster, even when you're 2 and 3, people reward you to go to the bathroom in the way that's best and applicable to society, right? In a toilet. But when you leak, right, they disreward you, right?
Right.
So think about that moving forward. Once we get continent, we take it for granted, and then we may regress, and there's a lot of reasons why that might happen, and I'm sure some of that will come out in the show. But if you start to leak urine, it's no longer something, a simple issue for you. Now it's a complicated issue.
Absolutely. Is this a problem that's only common to older women, or do you see younger women also in your office for this problem?
I see all ages of women. I kind of mentioned that, you know, it depends on what goes on in their life. You know, the trauma of childbirth, the aging process, all of these things can lead to bladder control problems and even some other medical conditions.
Now, when we're talking about bladder control problems, are we talking about people who cannot go to the bathroom and people who leak, or is it just always the problem of not being able to hold urine?
It's across the board. There's some people that have what we call urinary retention, where they just can't go to the bathroom. It's not simple for them to go, and sometimes we have to provide medications or even some surgical procedures to help them do that. And then there's other people who can't stop themselves from leaking. And then there's a whole problem with the bladder that's overactive bladder. And I think a lot of people will probably be chuckling when they're listening to the show today, because what they're going to say is, oh my God, I have that too. People at, you know, overactive bladder is really when people just, you can just feel like you're going to the bathroom or you have to go to the bathroom more than others.
But, and you don't really have to go, or you're maybe just going too often?
It's that, you know, there may be a wide variety of reasons that you feel like you have to go to the bathroom. One of which is if your bladder's too full, you'll leak, right? So you say, hey, I got to go to the bathroom more frequently. And sometimes the bladder just takes over. And even if you can hold your urine, it's, you know, you're in a meeting and it's an hour-long meeting and you feel like you have to excuse yourself 3 or 4 times just to go to the bathroom. And how has that limited your life? You no longer can drink your favorite cup of coffee. You can no longer drink the water that you would normally drink during that meeting. You're trying to be healthy. You're trying to exercise. You're trying to drink water. But you know if you drink the water that you're going to be out of that meeting 3 or 4 times.
Absolutely. Very true. Let's go back to causes, because you mentioned earlier trauma that can happen to women that can cause this problem. But what are some of the causes that you see in your office? office that cause bladder control problems?
Well, you have to remember that, you know, I see women for bladder control problems, and I see them oftentimes when they're healthy and they don't have other major clinical conditions like kidney problems and things like that, maybe that urologists would see. We see women bladder control problems. So things like stress urinary incontinence, where people leak when they cough and sneeze. And that's oftentimes, you know, caused by, you know, a relaxation of your own collagen matrix or the way we're built, right? So, you know, our tissues are very strong when we're young. And that's why when we look at pictures from 25 years ago, we look a little different than we do today. We can understand that we look the same, but our facial structures have drooped a little bit. And maybe there's other parts of our body have done the same, right? And so
sure.
I know it has in mine. So clearly, the same happens with the pelvic floor. And as that tissue gets weaker, that's one of the main causes of incontinence. The other causes of incontinence could be overflow incontinence. We talked a little bit earlier about urinary retention. If you can't void your bladder and your bladder's always full, the moment you put some pressure on it, you're going to leak over. And that's what we call it. So doctors, you know, we're not that smart, right? We've called it overflow incontinence. Once you overflow your bladder, you're going to leak.
So, Dr. Zaden, women who present with this kind of problem in the summer, especially, are wearing, you know, they want to wear bathing suits. They don't want to be having that kind of a problem. Or maybe they're just wearing a light summer dress and they can't hide that there's this kind of problem, not to mention problems with odor and other issues that can happen as well. And so how do you approach each patient then that comes in and tells you, I've got this problem?
Every patient comes in different. Every patient has their own specific problem because people are different. And I say this all the time in the office. Every body is different. Everybody's different, right? Because, you know, some people are working in very, very high-stress jobs, so their main problem with incontinence is every time they do the function of their job, they're leaking urine. And some people are very social, and they really don't do a lot of activity, but they have overactive bladder, and it requires them to, you know, to be talking to people at long periods of times and in places where they're public forums, and they have to get to the bathroom quickly. And some people are taking care of their children, and they have to wait in their cars and their SUVs for their kids on soccer fields, and they're trying to find the you know, pardon a better term, the porta potty somewhere so that they can go to the bathroom in between while they're waiting for the game that went over by 45 minutes.
So then again, bladder control starts to rule your life, and then that's when you know you've got a problem.
Interestingly enough, I mean, bladder control rules people's lives enough that the malls even figured it out. And there's certain stores that go to places in malls and locations where there's bathrooms close by because they know that there's going to be more women that you know, frequent that entrance because they know they're going to go to the bathroom as soon as they walk in the mall. I mean, that's pretty interesting. I mean, people have figured this out.
Types and treatments of options coming up next here on the Healthy Woman Show on WJR as we take a deep dive into bladder control problems, and we may be answering some of your questions about this important issue coming up here on WJR. We're talking bladder control problems here on the Healthy Woman Show on WJR. Of course, our co-host is Dr. Jonathan Zaden of Women's Excellence. Dr. Zaden, when we talk about women's bladder control problems, I'm sure that means a lot of different things. So what type of bladder issues specifically do you see in your office? And in this segment, we're going to get into some treatments and some treatment options. But let's talk a little bit about exactly the kind of issues that present.
Well, I think, like we talked about earlier, we see overactive bladder, or urinary frequency is what it's termed many times. We see stress urinary incontinence, where people leak when they laugh, cough, sneeze, or pick up something heavy. We see a condition called interstitial cystitis, where people have like an irritated bladder. They get a combination or a myriad of different symptoms, like sometimes they can have urinary retention, sometimes they can have bladder pain, and sometimes they can just have fulminant overactive bladder. We see conditions like such as prolapse. Some people actually have a relaxation of the bladder where part of the bladder is coming through the opening of the vaginal vault. And those things are called cystocele, or they can even be even more if the whole vaginal vault starts to prolapse, where things start coming down. And that can also oftentimes cause things with bladder control problems.
And that's visible.
That's visible. Now, sometimes it's happening and it's not visible to the patient, but it's visible to the doctor. When I see a patient, I can see that that problem is already occurring.
We talked about the social impact of what this problem can have on a person or their lifestyle issues, but is there pain involved in any of this?
You know, it varies. I mean, I think if people have, you know, what we were talking about earlier here with prolapse, they can have pain. But in many bladder control conditions, they don't have pain. What they have is irritation and frustration.
Yeah.
Frustration that they always have to go to the bathroom and they're always changing their undergarments and they have to buy all these different undergarments and they're changing their lifestyle. And then irritation in that not only are they irritated with all the above, but then they're irritated down below because, you know, if you have urine contacting your sensitive skin, right, that can be very irritating. So many times people, that's how they come in. They come in with a lot of irritation, and I ask a simple question when I see them. I say, are you having problems with leaking urine? And then, I hate to use the term, but the floodgates open. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I can't do this. I can't do that. I feel like I'm always in the bathroom. I feel like I can never stop. You know, I can't do anything anymore. And before that, they haven't told me one thing about their bladder. The whole visit was talking about their irritation on their most sensitive skin.
And, you know, you are always a big advocate of saying one size does not fit all in your practice. Every woman is unique when she comes in. It's your job to figure out what her unique set of circumstances are and how to treat that particular problem. But what type of treatment options are available, like an overview for each one of the things that you outlaid before?
Well, I'll tell you what. You know, again, I'm gonna reach back. Everybody is different. And if you are doing the same thing every time, you are just not going to get a good outcome. The other thing is that it absolutely has to be a comprehensive approach to your bladder, because we can outline one thing that a person has, but it's rare that it's one. In most cases, it's complicated. It's one or two. So it's a complex problem. It's not a simple problem. You know, it's like anything that we do. If you have a defined problem, you can pick a defined solution. But if you have two or three different things contributing to an outcome, it's much harder to deal with, and that's bladder control. Some people might have some prolapse that we have to fix, but they also have some weakness of the pelvic floor neck or the urethral neck, which is all doctor term for the area where the bladders support it. Right? But they also have overactive bladder, maybe that they developed as a result of having the stress incontinence and the pelvic floor weakness, or maybe they had it before and they've always had overactive bladder and urinary frequency their whole lives. So it's my job to actually tailor a solution to the myriad of their problems, because rarely is it one.
So what's a bladder sling? Tell me about that.
Boy, if we, I think we could spend, 18 to 20 years of congressional testimony on a bladder sling, because there's all this talk about vaginal mesh and whether or not we should use it, and some of it has been recalled, and everyone listening to this show has heard this in some
Absolutely.
Way, shape, or form. There are so many lawsuits about this, and I think there's probably still ongoing, and the FDA has come out with some recommendations recently on products and so on and so forth, and whether they should still be utilized. But the truth of the matter is a bladder sling is a small piece of mesh that's placed underneath the urethra, much smaller than the mesh that people were using for pelvic floor prolapse procedures. And what we do is we affix it underneath your urethra to provide support for the bladder at the level of the bladder neck, essentially.
Is it successful most of the time for you?
It's got great success rates. It's not always successful. And again, there are definitely myriads of different scenarios for patients. Some people come in and they're having problems where they need support at the bladder neck for a sling, but they also have interstitial cystitis, or they also have overactive bladder, or they also have a different condition called intrinsic sphincter deficiency. There's many different things that go along with a patient, and so we need to make sure that we're doing the right thing for at least part of that, and it's not going to harm the other part of their incontinence. So we have to be sure, for example, if somebody's leaking urine and they have overflow incontinence, we don't want to put more of an obstruction there.
Right.
That's not going to help the problem, right? We need to make sure that we're doing the right procedure for the right patient at the right time. And that is the number one thing. That's what I think what we focus on the most at Women's Excellence, not only for bladder control, for everything, for menopausal management, for our obstetrics. What are we going to do for the patient? We got to do the right thing for the right patient, the right candidate for that thing at the right time. All of it's important.
We talk about Botox to beautify our faces, but Botox is being used in so many other medical applications. I was shocked to learn that you can use this in bladder control too.
When I offer people Botox...
they're like, no thanks, doc, I'm okay.
The first thing is, well, will we have any extra? Because I can use it in my face.
Sure.
And the next thing is, what are you going to do? Like, how would that work? Right.
Yeah.
What Botox does, right, is it basically is a chemo denervator, right? So that's doctor talk for it kind of paralyzes your muscle, right? Whether that's your facial muscles to get rid of wrinkles, because, you know, as we get older, we start to give all those frown lines like I'm giving you right now. Right. And so if we can do it in the face and we, you know, make those muscles more weak and they're not pulling, then those wrinkles kind of disappear. And if we can do it in the bladder is a muscle. It's called a detrusor muscle. So if we inject it in the bladder in multiple locations, it can decrease the amount of activity. So if you have to go to the bathroom all the time and you don't want to take a medicine or you're not a good candidate for a medicine because there are medicines that can help with overactive bladder, Botox works really well because it kind of paralyzes very, very minimally that muscle of the bladder. Fortunately, it doesn't paralyze so much that people get urinary retention very frequently. It does happen, but it's very, very infrequent, and we can usually deal with it relatively easily as long as we're monitoring them, which we do at Women's Excellence.
What's InterStim? Did I say that correctly?
InterStim, yes. Well, InterStim is, I'm going to throw out a lot of big terms.
Big doctor terms, okay.
This is neurosacromodulation. How do you like that?
Yeah, wow.
So I'm assuming that most people out there don't know what neurosacral modulation is. But what it is it's a small little electrode that we put near your S3 or your third sacral nerve. And we do this in the back, and it's actually a little device that's about the size of an old Zippo lighter or about 2/4 in diameter. And what we do is we implant it in the buttock, and then that is a little generator. It's almost like a pacemaker for your bladder. And it sends little nerve impulses through that small wire that we've implanted, and it allows us to kind of modulate your bladder. Nobody knows exactly how that works, and there's not a one specific setting, so we don't just turn it on or off. There's multiple different ways that we can set the device to stimulate your bladder nerves a little bit differently, and oftentimes it works very, very well for people that have recalcitrant overactive bladder. And interestingly enough, the same nerves kind of work on the lower rectal unit, so we can actually treat fecal incontinence with that as well. So it's really an amazing little device. It's not something that I use as a first line. So this isn't, InterStim is not something where when somebody comes into the office, I'm like, oh, she has overactive bladder, we're going to try this device. Typically, we make sure that there's no mechanical issues like a prolapse. We test them to make sure there's nothing else, no medications that are causing the problem. And then we look at them and make sure there's no overactive bladder from overflow incontinence type of thing going on. And then we start to look at, wait, nothing else is working. Maybe medications don't work. We'll try this device. And the reason I avoid doing it from a first line is simple. It's a foreign body. And, you know, I try to avoid that if I can. I try to think to myself, if this was my mom, my sister, my friend, anyone in my office, is it something that I would go to as a first line? Absolutely not. But I can tell you, some of the people that we put InterStim in are the most thankful patients. And the reason is they've tried everything else and it didn't work. And they're more than happy to take the small risks of having a foreign body.
As we close out this last portion of this segment of our interview, Dr. Zaden, can you quickly go over the natural treatments that are available? Because I know a lot of people are listening to this and wondering, wow, I'd like to maybe start with something a little less invasive and perhaps something a little more natural.
I think the most natural thing that you can do is really just behavioral avoidance. And then also, if you have a mild bladder control problem, either pelvic physical therapy or your own pelvic physical therapy in the form of what we call Kegel exercises. And without spending a lot of time talking about Kegel exercises, for very mild weakness of the pelvic floor, including the bladder neck, Kegel exercise is a great natural way to try to help your condition. It allows you to help to squeeze down a little bit to help, you know, maintain your continence mechanism. Once that's gotten a little bit, you know, further than that, sometimes we can tell that even on exam, they may not be successful, but that's a good natural way. And the other way is what we talked about earlier is, you know, changing the way you do your normal activities. Maybe things aren't so bad, but you know that, hey, when I do go to the mall, I can be in the mall for an hour and a half, but if I don't go to the bathroom when I get there, it's a long walk. talk to it. So go to the right location at the right time. And the other, you know, bigger issue is, you know, some of the things that people drink. You know, when you drink a lot of iced tea or alcoholic beverages, you have a tendency to go to the bathroom more frequently. And sometimes, you know, maybe their problem is being exacerbated by what they're doing on their own. And if they stop doing a few of those things or at least moderate them, their condition might get better and they may never need medical assistance for that problem.
We are talking bladder control problems here on the Healthy Woman Show on WJR. And when we come back, Dr. Zaden, thankfully we have one of your patients that's here in studio with us to talk about her story with bladder control problems. Stay with us. We continue here on WJR. And welcome back to the Healthy Woman Show. As we talk about bladder control problems, Dr. Zaden, we're thrilled we have one of your patients in studio with us. Lisa, welcome to WJR. Welcome to the show. Tell us a little bit about your story about bladder control problems. What brought you to Dr. Zaden?
I've had a problem for a while. It started after I had my baby. I had a baby late in life. And after I had her, I had a lot of problem with incontinence. And as I got a little older, after menopause, I noticed that my significant other had passed away and I had to move his house. And so I was lifting things and moving stuff, and all of a sudden I could feel something was going on down there. I'm like, and it made me sick, and I did not feel good at all. So I went to my doctor, and she says, I thought maybe I probably have my uterus. And she said, no, you probably have your bladder. And I said, oh. So she sent me to a urologist who said, well, you know, it's just, you know, go to physical therapy. I said, okay. So I did the physical therapy. And after that, about a year later, same thing. I was lifting something and it just got really bad and I was very sick. So this time I went to my gynecologist that I had at the time. And he said, you know, it's your bladder, you know, I said, well, can you do anything for it? And he said, no. He said, you have to go back to your urologist. And I'm thinking, my God, I mean, why do I have to go to all these doctors for all different things? It's right there. So I started doing some research, and a girl that I was in my water aerobics class said, you know, I work at this, you know, Women's Excellence, and Dr. Zaden, he's awesome. You know, you should go see him. So I did. I made the appointment, and I went in there, and he's like, oh, yeah, you know, he checks me out, and he's like, oh, yeah, you know, this your bladder's prolapsed, blah, 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 and he's like, this is an easy surgery, and I'm like, he's like, this is easy. I said, oh, easy? Because I've had several surgeries before, and I'm like, that's not easy. I said, you know, how are you going to fix that, you know? So he said, and also their backside is prolapsed, too, and I'm like, oh, well, that answers a lot of questions, too, about that. So
And Lisa, this is one of the things that I see a lot, is that, you know, people are actually looking for care.
Yep.
And in times where if it's not packaged perfectly, you know, then maybe, you know, some of the other docs, and they don't really are comprehensively know how to evaluate it, that they kind of just, you know, what we call turf it off a little bit. Yeah. I don't think it's anyone's fault. It's just that, you know, maybe they see that there's a little bit of prolapse there, and they see that there's some stress incontinence, but they only fix one of them. So, you know, they kind of say, well, maybe you should go see the gynecologist. And then the gynecologist says you should see the urologist. So what you experienced is not uncommon. I hear it all the time.
And he was going to do, he could handle both of it. He can handle all of it down there, you know, and that, to me, that was important. And, you know, and I've heard all these horror stories about women who've had, you know, the bladder suspensions, and they're just a nightmare. They had problems with the mesh. And so I'm like, he's saying, well, this is easy. And I said, well, okay, we'll see. And I'm telling you, my appointment was at 11. I went to the hospital at 11. I was home by 2:30.
And we did some testing on you.
And
in
you
between.
Did testing on me before.
You know, we talked, we had a segment on the show earlier, and we talked a little bit about, you know, there's a lot of different reasons that people have what they have. And and you not only had prolapse of the bladder, but you also had some rectal wall prolapse that we call a rectocele. And then you had relaxation at the bladder neck. And so you had all three.
Yeah.
So I did some testing on you, an ultrasound, right? And a urodynamics test. So the ultrasound, I mean, explain, you know, was that difficult for you?
No, they brought me in before to do these little tests, and they were so simple. And I'm thinking, okay, you know, this is really going easy for me. And like I said, after the surgery, I come home and you have a catheter in, and it wasn't even painful or anything. It was just awkward to have the catheter. And the testing that he did beforehand was very simple. He went in and they, put water on you to see how much you hold. And
right, it's awkward, to everyone.
Yes, it's awkward.
It's a very awkward test to urinate or to be in front of anyone or be with someone when we're dealing with bladder control issues, because it goes, like I talked about earlier in the show, too. From the time we were three, we have been told that we're good if we can hold our urine, and then all of a sudden now we have to not only disclose that we can't, but then we have to be in front of people to show them that we can't, and then and then we're going to have this procedure.
Yeah.
And so, but the testing is, awkward, but not difficult,
no,
not painful,
not at all.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Not in any way, shape, or form.
And they're really good there. I mean, they're just the women he has working and the people he has working for him are just really awesome people.
Put you at ease, huh?
They really did.
And how long did that take? I mean, I have not gone through the entire chart on purpose, because I never think that's good conversation, right?
Mm-hmm.
But how long did it take between the time period that we met and the time period our testing was done?
Probably 2 weeks.
So
you got me right in to get the test, and then you scheduled me for the surgery,
and we did surgery maybe about 2-3 weeks after that,
or something like that.
And we did your case in an outpatient surgery.
You did at the outpatient surgery center, which is my first time I've ever had surgery at an outpatient surgery center like that, and it was. I would do that in a million years.
How long were you there?
Surgery center?
Yeah, how long I'm there, right?
Yeah.
At the last minute, and I'm doing the case.
I walked in at 11, and I was home by 2:30.
Right. So at 11, I was already there doing cases before.
Yes.
But what's that? So 2.5 hours.
2.5 hours. And that's what I'm saying. I mean, I cleaned my house, power cleaned it before thinking, I'm going to be done with the surgery.
Right.
I've had surgery before, I know. So the funny thing is I get home and I just had this catheter. It's awkward, but it's not, I had some pain. And that was Tuesday. So by Saturday, I was pain-free. I had no pain. I was like, this is crazy. I mean, even the few days in between, he gave me pain medication, but I really didn't need that much of it.
I don't mean to interrupt you, Marie, but so then you got better. When did you know that you were better? So we fixed you on a Tuesday. At what point did you say, wow, this is different?
Saturday.
By Saturday.
Yeah, I was going to ask you how, just if you could quickly tell us, you look like you're in great health, and this problem has been solved for you.
Yeah, it really has. I mean, like you said before, my life was centered around when I had to go to the bathroom. I had to plan everything. Do they have a bath in there? Do they, it's crazy how you adapt to that and live your life around that. That was in December is my surgery. This is now May. I mean, I'm fine. I don't have any dripping. I have nothing. I don't even feel, it's weird that I don't have to feel like I have to go to the bathroom for 3 or 4 hours at a time.
Well, you look marvelous. You look like you're
Thank
in
you.
Great health, like we said. Dr. Zaden, if people find themselves, if a woman listening today finds herself that, she can identify with Lisa and all that she's been through, what's the first course of action?
I think just go to our website at www.womensexcellence.com. I think if you go to our website and you leave a live chat, they're there, I believe, between 8 a.m. and like 5 p.m., you can, have somebody just schedule you an appointment or ask questions if you want over the chat, and they can figure out what would be the next best course of action.
We are talking about bladder control problems here on The Healthy Woman Show. Stay with us. We'll continue after the break. Dr. Zaden, we're lucky enough to have another patient joining us. Michelle is going to talk to us about her experience with her bladder control problems. Michelle, welcome to the Healthy Woman Show here on WJR.
Thank you for having me.
Can you quickly tell us a little bit about your story? What brought you to Dr. Zaden? What type of problems were you having, and how were they impacting your life?
Oh, gosh. My bladder pretty much held me back from living a normal life. I hid behind the fact that just about anything I did on a not being aware that, if I coughed, if I sneezed, if I laughed, on sudden impact, I could lose a little bit of my bladder. And
that's pretty devastating, isn't it?
It is, and it's embarrassing.
I hear it from so many patients where they're like, you know, they start changing everything they do because they don't want this to happen.
Yeah, it got to be, okay, I'm leaving the house. Do I need to put on a panty liner? Do I have a change of clothes with me? And
it's complex enough to get through life without that problem, right? Then now all of a sudden you have to confound it with, do I have another set of clothes? And even if I have another set of clothes with me, how am I going to change them? And where am I going to go to change them? And where am I going to put the clothes that I just took off? And do I have to go back to my car all the way to put them someplace? I can't just carry them around in a bag. I've heard all of these things.
Exactly. And, you know, as women, and, you know, and I'm sure men go through it as well, but as a woman, you know, you don't want to say, oh, excuse me, I just need to change. My bladder just leaked.
Well, I don't.
You know,
think
you're having a few drinks with your girlfriends. You know, that's the last thing you want to worry about.
Well, the thing is that, you know, our goal is to, you know, give people a better quality of life. So, you know, my whole mission with Women's Excellence and being a physician is to make people better when they leave than when they came in. And, you know, bladder control is pretty, it's a passionate topic for me because I'm able to do that, you know. So how was it, you know, how did I do from a customer service perspective, you know, taking care of you? We saw you and then, you know, I haven't, again, looked through, I try not to look through charts and in script an interview, right? So how did we do? I mean, how long was it until, you know, from the time period that we talked and through your workup?
It was amazing, Dr. Zaden. You made me feel like a friend. You know, when I walked in, of course, I was nervous, but you made me feel relaxed and that this is nothing that I should be ashamed of, and that what you were going to do to help me was so easy that it set my mind at ease. Not only that it was going to help solve the problem, but it was that it was going to change my life from here on out.
And we did a few tests on you, right? I mean, you know,
yes,
I remember
you
your case because it was recent. We did an ultrasound, I think. We did urodynamics. And then we had to do some other evaluations, right? Because we found some other, a polyp that we had to take
yes.
care of at the same time, right?
Yes. And you, you're just amazing, Dr. Zaden, not just as a physician, but you made me feel comfortable. You talked to me like, you know, personable, not just a patient, and you made me feel relaxed. And I remember the words you told me, no matter what the problem, we'll find a fix. And you did.
Well, you know, we talked earlier a little bit, Michelle, about, you know, how we handle problems at Women's Excellence and that we have to be comprehensive in what we do. And the reason I say stuff like that to patients is mostly because I know that, you know, if we fix the leakage that you're doing with cough and sneeze, but you still have overactive bladder, I might be able to use Botox or medications, or I may be able to do other things to take care of it. And in your case, you had some other, you know, relaxation issues that we had to take care of at the same time, which ultimately contributed to the success. Now, how are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing amazing. I'm bragging about it to other people, as a matter of fact. I can wake up with confidence. You know, I'm going about my day more relaxed. I can enjoy a cup of coffee without thinking, oh, my goodness, you know, in a split second, I'm going to have to run to the bathroom because my bladder is just that weak. It's just been, it's really, truly been life-changing, and I just wish I had done it sooner.
Michelle, what procedure did you do to help solve your problem?
You mean what Dr. Zaden did to me?
Yes. What procedure did you undergo?
Well, Dr. Zaden had put a sling in the bladder because I believe when he threw the testing, he had found out that not only had my bladder dropped, but the muscles were a little weaker than normal.
Yeah, and we also performed a specialized test called hysteroscopy, where we looked inside her uterus because we found that there was a polyp on the inside, and we used a new device, which is basically like a small we call it a resectoscope, where we actually were able to take that polyp out without doing anything major. So we did that in an outpatient surgery environment as well, and ultimately that came back benign. So we were really happy to take care of that.
And so, Michelle, today you feel like a, I have to say, listening to you, it sounds like you feel like a new person.
You know, I am. I do feel like a new person, and I feel like a woman again, actually.
So I have one question. Do you bring alternate changes of clothes still because you used to, or have you stopped doing that?
I stopped doing that.
Oh, wow.
And,
Well, that's the measure.
It's just been amazing because, you know, now when I leave the house, I don't have to run back in and say, oops, I need a change of clothes. Now I just live life normally.
Well, that's like our measure, I was going to say, our measure of success, right? So, you know, it's not about that we did a procedure or that we scheduled a procedure. Our measure of success is those people that ultimately had their life changed by what we did in every way, shape, or form throughout our entire company. And bladder control is one of those where we see it dramatically.
Quality of life. Michelle, thank you so much for joining us today here on the Healthy Woman Show. Dr. Zaden, let's just, in closing out the show, very quickly go again. I know a lot of people may be embarrassed to talk about this problem. They need to see somebody. What's the first course of action that they should take?
I think the first course, if you have internet access, and I think almost everyone does, is to go to our website at www.womensexcellence.com. And if you want to reach out to us, then you can reach out to us on our live chat if it's between 8 and 5 p.m. And also you can contact us through the website, and you can call us by phone at 248-693-0543.
And one of the most unique things that I think your office does, because I know you do a lot of this, is that the consultation via a live chat. So for people who are very busy or who may not want to, you know, come into the office, you can do a live chat consultation.
Well, it's not exactly a live chat, but it is. We have a live chat function where we can schedule people,
right,
and we can communicate through the live chat, but we have a telemedicine, and I think that's what people are hearing a lot of. It's a telemedicine, which is basically a live chat. It's exactly what you just said, in that we can actually, you know, do our consult, our initial consult, right over the phone.
Dr. Zaden, once again, thank you so much for joining us and giving us all this great information about bladder control problems. It's a huge problem for so many women. You've given so many answers today. Thank you.
And thank you, Michelle, for sharing your experience.
We'll see you again next month on The Healthy Woman Show here on WJR.
The Healthy Woman Show with Marie Osborne and Dr. Jonathan Zaden has been presented by Women's Excellence.